All right, that is the music. And when you hear that, you know it is time for the Psalms. And today's Psalm is Psalm 59. What's interesting about this Psalm, first of all, it's in Book 2. That goes from Psalm 42 to 72. And within Book 2, the Psalms written by David are 51 to 72. So 59 is written by David. And what's interesting in this one is the prescript, verse 1. And it says, for the choir master. So again, David wrote the psalm, then gave it to the choir master in order to put music to it. And it says, intoned like, do not destroy. So there's another psalm with that same tune, like, do not destroy. I want this psalm to sound like this one. Use this same kind of music for this psalm, is what David is saying here. Now, here's something interesting. I don't think we've come across this before. It says, a michtam of David when Saul sent men to keep watch on his house and kill him. Okay? So, a michtam, well, today that means thing that covers. But obviously, that doesn't make sense for what's being said here. We don't know what that word meant back at the time that it was being used here in the Psalms. And what's interesting about the michtam Psalms, all of the Psalms that say a michtam, there are always of David, not Asaph, not the sons of Korah, not Heman or Etan or Jeduthun. It's only David. So, I mean, I'd maybe love to see some research. If there's any scholarship on this word michtam, and why is it only associated with David himself? You know, and again, michtam, what? When Saul sent men to keep watch on his house and kill him. So it's a direct reference to the fact that, you know, Saul was jealous of David because they were singing about, you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David had killed tens of thousands. And Saul got jealous and then sought to seek the life of David. So David's on the run. And so that's what this refers to. So the psalm itself starts at verse 2 after the prescript. Rescue me from my foes, O God. Protect me from those who attack me. Now, obviously, you haven't heard the prescript why David starts off this way. He's being pursued. His life is in danger. And he's asking the Lord to rescue him, to help him. Rescue me from, verse 3, rescue me from those who do evil. Save me from bloodthirsty men. Right? And we do the same thing. When we're in distress, when we're going through something difficult, when we're struggling, you know, we ask the Lord to help us. We ask the Lord to be with us in this moment of trial, in this moment of struggle, in this moment of pain, you know, or maybe even struggling with addiction. Lord, keep this evil desire from my heart for reaching for that bottle again or going to that internet site again, Lord. You know, keep my heart pure. Help me and strengthen me in this time of trial. Verse 4, see, they lie in wait for my life. The strong band together against me. For no offense, no sin of mine, O Lord, for no guilt of mine, they rush to take their stand. See, so he's saying, Lord, like almost like they're lying in wait, almost like a predatory animal. You know, you watch those nature shows and the lion or the cheetah or the tiger, you know, they're crawling up on their prey. You know, they're lying in wait. And he says, the strong band together against me. So it feels like, you know, this oppression is happening from not just one person, but it feels like, you know, that all these people are ganging up against me. And sometimes we feel like that in the pro-life movement, don't we? You know, you feel like maybe you're the only one, you know, that feels the way that you do. There's so many people opposed to a culture of life. And sometimes when we're going against the culture, we're being countercultural. Sometimes if we feel lonely, we feel like we're getting beat up. We feel like we're being pursued by people who are not interested in the fullness of truth. For no sin of mine, no offense of mine. They run. See, Lord, I'm preaching truth. I'm the one that's innocent here because I'm preaching your truth. But yet they still pursue me. Yet they're still trying to destroy me. Yet they still don't understand where I'm coming from. Right? And so that's awesome. You know, but again, in those moments, they don't understand what I'm saying. They don't care what I'm saying. And Lord, help me so that people understand the beauty of your truth.
Well, and this psalm's a great reminder, too, that I'm a fan of, you know, having an anthem song that reminds you of things that either are the hard struggles or they're kind of that eye of the tiger, you know, Rocky champion training, because that's what we are, right? We're all in training for the battles that we have to face. And as David and, you know, his men are in the midst of it, they're, you know, they have these psalms to sing to themselves of what they should be doing and not doing. And so we need those anthems, those cries, you know, so that when we can't remember necessarily scripture or something from, you know, Sunday Mass or whatever, we can remember songs. We can remember those things, that the limericks that keep us in the right headspace.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And then it goes on, awake, come to meet me and see. Lord God of hosts, you are Israel's God. So awake, Lord, wake up. Like, you know, Lord, it feels like you're not with me, like you're asleep right now. Like it was almost shaking the Lord on the shoulder. Yeah, Lord, it's time to wake up now. You know, take a look at what's going on. You know, come to meet me and see the Lord God of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, right? Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord, the God of armies. You are Israel's God, not the idols of the culture. You are Israel's God. You, O Lord, are the God of Israel. Rouse yourself and punish the nations. Show no mercy to evil traitors. Each evening they come back, howling like dogs. They roam about the city. Ooh, David. David getting a little vicious up in here. You know? So now David kind of says, okay, so it starts kind of with fear. You know, rescue me, God. Help me. These people pursue me. They're lying in wait for my life, even though I'm innocent. And Lord, you know, wake up. Come and see my position. But now that he knows, now he's gaining confidence that as he continues to address the Lord, that the Lord will enter into this, into his struggle and be by his side to help him. So now he's starting to speak with confidence. Rouse yourself. Punish the nations, Lord. Show no mercy to evil traitors. So now David's getting a little emotional here. You know, he goes, look what they're doing to me. And Lord, you know, the way they're making me feel, Lord, you know, don't show them the mercy because they're not showing me mercy, that kind of thing. Each evening they come back howling like dogs, roaming about the city. So sometimes, you know, as you're walking around, so you see these stray animals walking around, roaming around, looking for food, looking for things, right? Where their next meal is coming from. Maybe, and you see the animals fighting in the street together. So that's David. They come back and they're howling and, you know, he still feels this oppression, but now he knows he's confident God's going to help him. Verse 8, see how their mouths utter insults, their lips like sharpened swords. For who, they say, will hear us? You know, again, David is talking about their arrogance. They're uttering these insults. They're slandering me. You know, their lips are like sharpened swords. Again, this is the cancel culture, the culture of deplatform. We don't want to hear your voice, Catholics. Therefore, we're going to deplatform you. We're going to cancel you, you know, on social media. We don't want your voice to be heard. You know, or like what they did with me, YouTube. We're going to demonetize you. You know, fine. For who, they say, will hear us? But you, Lord, will laugh them to scorn. You make a mockery of all the nations, right? So don't let the nations think that they have the upper hand. Don't let them think that they've won. Don't let them think in their arrogance that they are greater than God. That was a mistake that Nebuchadnezzar made in the book of Daniel. You know, who is the God that will rescue you out of my hand? Because guess what, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, I'm your daddy. I'm your God. And who is the God that's going to rescue? I am in charge of your life now. I have power over life and death. He got arrogant. He got arrogant. But those three young men said, okay, what? Whatever, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you think that you're a God, but guess what? We got a God who's going to save us. We are confident that our God is the God who saves, because he is the one true God. And one of my favorite lines, I love this. I use this a prayer all the time, especially as I'm preparing to speak. Oh my, verse 10, oh my strength, for you I will watch. Well, the other version I like a little bit better. To you I will turn. Right? But this version says, for you I will watch. For you, oh God, are my stronghold, the God who shows me merciful love. See, now David brings it all back.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.